January 31st, 1983, Long Beach, California.
Welcome to Long Beach in 1936.
Oh, wonderful.
And when I come here, you can count the colored people in the neighborhood where I stopped. And that was at Miss Carrie Jackson. She was Begley at that time. Her husband was working at Walker's when they were building the store. He was hurt and seriously and he passed. So I come and went to her apartment. Her sister lived there, whose name is Samella Robinson. I knew her from back down home.
Where's down home?
I was born and reared in Memphis, Tennessee. And she lived in Arkansas, and I had a cousin, and I'd go to and fro. After, she would come to and fro and visit her sister and her mother that was here. See, Carrie Jackson has been out here much longer than I have. But anyway, I come to Long Beach and moved in her apartment with her. At that time, the Navy homeport was here in Long Beach. I left Memphis and moved to Cleveland. After the homeport was here in Long Beach, I left Cleveland and come to Long Beach where my son was. He was in the Navy. He went in when he was young. After staying here and being here just a few days, I joined Second Baptist Church. Reverend S.M. Malone was a pastor. Well, there were few, there was a cafe on the corner of Anaheim and California. And that was the headquarters for the majority of the Negroes right there. A little later on, I don't know just exactly when, but Catherine Howard and her husband was here, and they opened their house for not a hotel, but a place that you could come and stay. I mean, they'd rent rooms to you and so forth and so on. Well, the colored people were such few, and right there on California and 12th Street, there was food rooms and so forth and so on and Crescent Shops. I can't think of the man's name that had that place right now, but probably it'll come to me. Anyway, as I stayed here, the people gradually increased coming. And I rode back home to a friend of mine in Memphis, because when I left Cleveland, I come on through Memphis to visit my relatives and so forth, and then come on here. Well, when I got to the station in Los Angeles, I was never so surprised in all of my life. The worst dilapidated station that I've ever seen. And now, in Memphis, they had two stations, Union Station and the other station, that were refined and they were nice. I caught the bus, the red car was running from Los Angeles to Long Beach. And I got off at 10th and American Avenue then, and caught a bus and come on and went to this apartment. After I was here a while, I rode back, as I started to say, to this friend of mine. I said, honey, I should have been out here a long time ago, because colored people don't die out here. They're not living out here, so quite naturally they couldn't die. But anyway, the activities began to go. Reverend Kirkpatrick started this place right here. Lived in Texas, and he would drive some white people here, I'm sure, that he worked for every summer for vacation. Long Beach was a beautiful place for seniors to come for a vacation, and the majority of the well-known white people from the South or wherever, they knew that, and they would come here. All right, Kirkpatrick enjoyed coming out here so much till he finally come out here, and he moved his family here over on Myrtle Avenue. He joined the same church that I was a member of, Second Baptist. Sang in the choir, and was very active. And finally he was called into the ministry. After being called into the ministry, quite natural, he had to get his ministerial license from our church. I was clerk of the church at that time. My name is on his license. Okay, he was here a while in Long Beach. Knowing that he was the minister, he felt that he should have a church of his own. It was a white church there called 10th in California, and the people, the white people, they were beginning to move from the city to go in somewhere else, and Kirk opened up his church right there, 10th in California. I don't remember now the exact year, but it was, sometime in 40, sometime in along those lines. But anyway, he opened his church, and that's where he started his ministerial work. He was a physician right over here on the Orange and New York. He had an office there. Kirk was very much interested in getting into this neighborhood. And he talked to this doctor, shame I can't call his name, can't think of his name. He called this doctor and they worked together for a while. Finally, Kirk saw where he could improve the neighborhood along that has been improved for the majority of our people could find a place to live. They had the groundbreaking, and the pastor that's at Second Baptist now, Christ Second Baptist now, he was a part of the groundbreaking right here. It took a little while for them to build this place, but finally they built it, and the people were very, very happy to get somewhere to stay. Finally, the cafeteria was open back there in this building in the back. Things worked out pretty good for quite a while for Reverend Kirkpatrick. And then something went haywire, something broke loose that should not have. That's when he lost his place. And after he lost it, he also had built the church right next door to it, right over here. So after he lost his place, quite a bit of the activities and everything was at his church when it wasn't there. But this place was a nice place for us to have the type of affairs that we wanted that could not be held in church, because maybe we would have a birthday party or an anniversary with more than 200 people where we couldn't have it at church. So we come up here and we supported Reverend Kirkpatrick in every respect. I'm trying to think of this doctor's name. He's gone home now for a long time. But anyway, as I can think of it and I can see it, the time has brought quite a few of our people on the south and even from up north down here in Long Beach. So the only thing I can say, and the best thing I can say, is that after the people move down here and come down here, they were interested in finding a home of their own. So they began buying property and so forth and so on. So the best thing I can think of right now to say is some time ago, the only activities before it got aware that 12th in California, they had to go downtown to enjoy the things of life that they wanted because this wasn't open. However, they told them to go to Signal Hill. And they went up there, one or two families saw some property in Signal Hill that they wanted, and they bought it. Finally, when they found out it was all in Signal Hill, they was ready for those two families to get out. All right, that wasn't the one way for them to do it. They either had to pay those two families the money that they asked for it, or else they couldn't get them away. So they paid them the money, and they moved on down here. But the vicinity right here, right around here, began to grow, as I said, people coming from different parts, until Long Beach got to be a pretty decent and respectable place, and the people were very, very happy here. So, all other than I can say right now, my mind is not functioning in every respect. But I will say that the Negroes here has achieved quite a bit of prosperity here in Long Beach. As I said, after things opened up, they began buying property and they began to own their own home. So there wasn't anything else for us to do but to live after we've got ourselves adjusted to the point that we can live. So along with buying property, in fact, when I come here, I wasn't married to the man, and I'm wearing his name. I was single when I come here. His father, we had separated, and I married again, and this husband passed. So I come to Long Beach in 1942. I married the man that I'm wearing his name.
What did Mr. Sawyer do?
Did what the rest of them were doing when they first come here. Having a nice time, gambling and doing what they, you know, what they wanted to do. He was a very important man in that line of work. My activities were church, but that didn't interfere with our lives. He didn't interfere with mine, and I didn't bother his because I didn't know what he would do it. So that's the way that went, so far as me and him and our marriage. When we come here, when I come here, rather, my son didn't stay in the Navy. He came out. And World War II, I told him he'd better go back in the Navy because he could not stand to be in an army because that was too much walking for him and he couldn't do it. But anyway, he re-enlisted. He went through World War II all the way in every respect. He came home. He didn't have a scratch, a scar, and nothing wrong with him. He would come home just like he did when he left. So the only thing I can say for that is prayers of the church and the community is why he come home safe. When he come home, he went to the shipyard over there in San Pedro. He worked there through the years, and he come out, he retired 2 years ago with 37 years of service with the Navy. But while he was working over there, he married, and he has 3 daughters, and they're all fine young ladies. One of them is visiting me now, and she's 36 years old. And the other two are in Oakland. The oldest of the others went to the school out here, college. She received her master's degree there and taught school for a while. But when she went to Oakland, she got a job on the Bay Bridge, and that's where she is now. While she was up there working, they sent her to the school there in Berkeley. And after they sent her there and she come out, then they gave her a job in San Francisco in the office. She wasn't too happy in the office, so she back out there all the babies happy as a log. She didn't like to be confined. She liked to be where she could see and like that. So as all of that goes on, me and my husband, our lives have been very happy. Now he is at a rest home in North Long Beach, and he's there. He's been there for quite some time. Very, very happy, very considerate. Tells me don't come out here when it's raining, and don't come every day. If anything happened to me, they got your phone number and they'll call you. But I'm grateful to him and considering and doing all of that, so he's very, very happy. And I'm grateful to God for all of that that has happened. We married in 1942, and we have been husband and wife ever since. So I still say the prosperity and the growth of Long Beach has grown during the time that the Negroes come in here, and there was a few in here before I came. But it has grown, and everybody seemingly is happy until certain things come along. But anyway, from downtown, after they found a place out here at 21st in Orange, that's when they found them a nice place, and that's where they went and gambled and had that full life, you know, their enjoyment of life, the ones that wanted. But this place here, right here, 12th in California, it has grown tremendously. Barbershop there for a few years, and the cafe is there, and pressing shop. So I'll say this, that with all the trials and tribulations and with all the different things that has happened to the black people, I can say that we are very, very proud we live in Long Beach, because I don't care how you go, where you go, and how you go, you're going to have some problems somehow or some way. So you can't think of your problems, you must think of your future and be feel that you are being blessed with whatever activities or whatever that confront you, because without God, we can't do nothing.
Can I ask you some questions?
Yeah.
You said you were clerk of your church?
Yeah.
Tell me what that means.
With her?
What does a clerk do?
Oh, well, the clerk keep a financial rule and the activities of the church, put out bulletins for the Sunday, that whatever's going to be there that Sunday, and things of that sort. We have a bulletin for every Sunday, and we tell you, and the meetings is going to be that week and like that. And also, as time moved on, we expanded our church and had it young people activities in it. And we had a junior church, that's what I'd call it. Well, that worked on fine. We did great. And one of the main things that I'm about to forget is this recreation, this California recreation. There, it was quite a few of activities and quite a few of things going on in that building. And I think everybody was very, very happy over some of the things that was going on. But my main project, my main activities as clerk was keeping a record of the money. I didn't keep the money, I kept a record of it. We had a treasure for that purpose. Keep a record of the money and make the bulletin so the people on Sunday morning when they would come to church, they would know the activities. And if a person joined church Sunday morning or Sunday night, I would write their names, and their names would be put on the roll as a member of Second Baptist Church.
Are those records still around? Have they been kept?
Not to my knowledge, because we've had so many pastors. From the time Reverend Malone, he left here and went to Pasadena, to Metropolitan Church. And then we've had three or four ministers after him. And Reverend Thomas, he was here for a while. He left and went north. And then Reverend Charles come, and there was a problem there, and he left. It was a big problem, but which I won't expose. But he left and went to Los Angeles. So in 1950, I think it was. Yeah, I think it was 1950. Reverend Gore come here. He was pastoring the church in St. Louis. And he would come out here to and go to up in Los Angeles to another church. But anyway, he was called to our church in 1950 as pastor. And he's been here ever since. And we're very, very proud of him. And we have built this new church since he's been here. The old church was torn down. The different parts of it were sold to different places. So he has been an active pastor and a wonderful pastor, and as I said, built this church just right over there in New York and California, Christ Second Baptist. And we are very proud of him, and the membership has increased and the activities are great, so we are very, very happy there. And coming back to Reverend Kirkpatrick, after this was after this, he lost this here. Then, as I said, his activities grew, and he built that church where he is. Was there now, Brother Kirkpatrick built that. And I see they are remodeling it and making it larger. But he, as well as Reverend Gore, Reverend Kirkpatrick, has brought Long Beach up to quite a bit, and the inspiration and all of that, along with his sickness, his wife's sickness, and all of that. But he's still over there, and As I say, he's not a well man, but he's still carrying on.
Were there any other black churches in Long Beach when in
Christ Second Baptist was the first black church in Long Beach.
By 1936, were there any others?
No. No, there were no others. No, there was no other black church here in Long Beach. But it was Second Baptist then. But since Reverend Bull came, he caused it. Put the Christ Second Baptist to it. So I think that the activities and all the different things and the inspiration and the success and all that is great from 1936 to
1983. I'm interested in the other businesses that you mentioned. You said there was a restaurant?
Yeah. At Anaheim in California.
And were there any other businesses where people gathered?
Right across the street. No, not yet. Right across the street was a church. And they didn't have a building, but they had seats on the outside, and they'd come and sit outside and have their services. Finally, as time moved on, time passed on, they got enough members, and they built this church that's right there on Anaheim in California, right on the corner.
White Rose.
White Rose, that's it. And as time moved on, then these other places from other things, they kind of got in there. But across the street, where they have torn up in the ground and like that, Gus Bradley, he had a pool hall, and it was another cafe right next to it. So, as I said, most of the senior citizens, when I come here, they have gone to sleep. Gus Bradley and his wife, Miss Bradley, she passed last year. Steve, he passed 3 or 4 years ago, but his wife is still living. And there was another church organized in California right up from ours. Friendship Baptist Church. They was at 15th and Lemon until they built that park there, and that's when they moved down on California Avenue. But now there's so many churches here, I don't know the name of them. Don't know where they're all located. But we have quite a few of them start at the bottom with 5 or 6 members. We know anything, the membership increase. But I will say that since Long Beach has been here and the activities have increased, they are still increasing. But one thing I regret very, very much, and that is the young people of today here in Long Beach is different than it was years ago. Now, we have quite a few Poly High. We have quite a few of the young men that went to Poly High. They're finished, and they're activities in baseball and football and all that. They don't ask me their names because I can't call them all. But anyway, they are still here and they are still active with the baseball and like that, even though they are teaching and training and being managers and like that for the young people that seemingly are interested in the activities of sports. So we have quite a few of our young men that have finished poly and out in the world doing good and trying to help the generation of today to improve.
Was there an area where black people could live in Long Beach when you first came?
Well, yeah, because where I've come to, the building, I don't remember now who owned the building at that time, but they had a manager, and the colored people lived in it. It was a building, and it had 12 apartments.
It wasn't the Southern Palms.
No, that was a cafe.
It was.
Yeah, okay. Southern Palms with the cafe. But I don't know what, they never did name this apartment anything. So after Mrs. Jackson's husband passed, she was fortunate enough to buy this apartment. So when I come here, I come directly to that apartment because I come to her sister's house and her sister lived there. So
that even though there was a small black population,